Word of mouth.
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 This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. The Federal Aviation Administration says it's received an average of 2,000 new drone registration requests a day since new rules on commercial drone use went into effect this past January. But as the old saying goes, what goes up must come down. With the growing popularity of drones, a new arms race is afoot to develop technology that can land or destroy non-compliant or wayward drones. Stephen Melendez is a writer and a contributor to Fast Company, where he wrote about the anti-drone arms race among tech companies. And Stephen, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Thank you.
Is there a growing case for why anti-drone technology is needed at this moment, or does this have more to do with theoretical problems maybe that are going to arise down the road?
Primarily, this does have to do with theoretical problems. There haven't been that many particular threats. There haven't been certainly any terrorist attacks or anything of that nature yet carried out with drones. But the FAA does say it's receiving more and more reports, essentially every month, of drones flying in restricted airspace around airports. And there's been a few other incidents. There were two cases last year where drones were flown near the White House, where they were not allowed. And in Japan, there was even a case where an activist delivered sort of a token amount of radioactive sand to the prime minister's office. So really, security forces around the world are getting more concerned about where drones are going, where they might not be exactly welcome.
So companies are trying to come up with ways to take them down if they need to. You looked at some of these companies developing anti-drone technology. Tell us about a few and what they're coming up with.
Yeah, so there's really sort of two main categories of anti-drone technology, I would say. There's ones that actually interfere with the radio signals that are sent from the drone's controllers to those drones. So you can think of that as introducing a static on a radio broadcast, so the drone actually isn't able to hear the commands that it's receiving. And in that case, most of these commercially available drones are programmed to either just return to where they took off from or simply land on the spot out of an abundance of caution. There's a second category as well that actually sends its own essentially counterfeit commands to the drone.
So how much would these conceivably cost to operate these various means of interruption?
So most of the organizations that I spoke to said their products go in the tens of thousands of dollars range, and they're being primarily or even exclusively in many cases sold to government agencies and others in the security business now. And some of them also work on essentially a subscription model similar to what you might have on your computer with antivirus technology, where the operators would essentially pay a yearly fee and actually get software updates to these devices to make sure they're able to handle all the latest drones that might come on the market.
So outside of military interests or security interests, do you imagine these anti-drone technologies being made available to consumers in the future?
The issue with a lot of them is it's still unclear where exactly the law stands on that for a couple of different reasons. If you are jamming radio signals, traditionally the FCC in the U.S. and other radio regulators around the world look askance at that. They don't want people interfering with others' licensed use of airwaves, even if it's for a situation like this. There's also the question, if you actually essentially hijack someone else's drone as a private citizen, there's a question of liability if you damage that drone. Imagine if it had, say, a valuable camera on it, or just you caused it to crash. Imagine if you tried to take it over and it crashed into someone else. And also, in order to use a drone for commercial purposes, you do need to have a drone pilot certificate from the FAA. So do you need one if you are taking over someone else's drone? I think before these really become available to the general public, some of those legal questions may have to be answered. But I could imagine in the near future, maybe some private security companies or major landlords in big cities looking to work with the FAA and FCC to resolve some of these questions so they can safely keep these drones off of their own property as well.
So you talked earlier about maybe government agencies or security companies would be using this. But if someone was spying on me with a drone, I would consider it an invasion of privacy and maybe feel justified in zapping it out of the sky and sending it crashing to Earth. Would I be responsible at this moment for paying for that drone if I had?
Again, that's really still up in the air. There's actually been some cases where people have taken more low-tech approaches and actually shot a drone out of the sky, say with a rifle, and courts in different places have ruled in different ways. I believe some state courts have essentially let people off a hook from that, saying that they're essentially defending themselves and defending their property. But the FAA in general, again, takes a dim view of people interfering with licensed and registered aircraft, which these drones would be. So it's possible that you could still face a fine from the FAA or federal charges for interfering with an aircraft. But again, it would really depend on the exact circumstances, and a lot of this just hasn't been litigated. So you'd essentially have to wait for someone to go to court and see if they could use self-defense charges in a situation like that as well.
More to be revealed. Stephen, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Stephen Melendez, he's a writer and contributor to Fast Company. You'll find a link to read his article in the anti-drone arms race at wordofmouthradio.org.